This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go racing here at Knoxville.
Only the best go three of
it is showtime at Williams Grove Speedway.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here at Eldora Speedway, it's showtime.
Yes, you got a for a rest. Often imitated, never duplicated. The greatest show on dirt, the world of outlaws.
It's time to sit back, relax and enjoy, because ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime!
Set to do battle for 30 laps, the green flag is waving.
Hello again, it is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Talking sprint car racing, our favorite time of the week, and we are so glad that you have joined us. Steve Post in our Concord, North Carolina studios, and joining us via Zoom from the Lethal Chassis Studios up in Pennsylvania, my co-host Ashley Strummy. Hello, Ashley, how are you?
Steve, we are doing great-ish up here. Obviously, we've gotten some racing in, but weather has been a nightmare during the week here lately. She's a little bit soupy around here.
Yeah, man, it has been a rough start, that's for sure, but I think that's called March. I'm not sure that it's, well, I did get up there. I was in your neck of the woods. We did get one day of the Lincoln weekend, the icebreaker in. That was the second day of it. But, just is what it is, the weather. And the weather just washed everything out with one exception. Maryville Speedway in California 360s, Colby Copeland led all the way, Tanner Carrick and Nick Parker. But that was it, to my knowledge, of sprint car racing. So we start this show off with hot topics. And when there's no races, then what do we talk about? Well, there is a hot topic out there, and there's a hot topic that does touch base with us here at Wing Nation. And if you're on social media, you've seen some of the problems or issues that Kendra Jacobs. Kendra is our original co-host, my original co-host on Wing Nation, and she has been receiving a series of very, very nasty emails. And Kendra and I chatted yesterday, and I said, I just kind of tend to leave those things go. And she's like, yes, but this has happened time and time and time. And I'm like, oh, okay, wait a minute. This is not a one-off situation. And I don't know what's going on in the world, but it's just like, whatever happened to being nice, and that sort of thing. And you overall in the world, in sprint car racing, we just have lost a lot of being nice to each other. Ashley, I'm glad I'm sharing the show with you here, although Aaron certainly, I'm sure, has dealt with issues and challenges with being a woman in the sport as well. I can't imagine some of her stories. But Ashley, just kind of your take on being a woman business person, being a woman in the sport.
It's tough. There's no nice way to sugarcoat it, unfortunately. There's always, it's a struggle just in itself because we are in a male dominated sport. Yeah. But I don't want to be like, oh, well, I'm the female, whatever. It's just a struggle. And I can sit here and beat a horse till it's dead about. Thankfully, I've never come across what Kendra has to that angst or anything like that. So I'm very fortunate in that side. But there are people who send messages. Why are you on Wing Nation? What's your role in sprint car racing? And I'm like, well, I grew up at Port Royal Speedway. My dad raced. I do have a little bit of a history, maybe not to the level of Kendra or Aaron, but I do have my little niche in this world. And I do run a business in the dirt series, not sprint cars, but it is a struggle from time to time. And there's unfortunately, a lot of negativity, and it comes from social media because I feel like people can hide behind who they really are. Like, no one would come up and say that to my face, or that person wouldn't go up to Kendra's face and say it, because, you know, no one has the brass to be able to do that. You know, we have to hide behind a keyboard and make up a fake name or whatever it may be. So, and I kind of talked about that. Actually, I have a podcast with Mandy Pouch dropping today. We talk about the females in racing with Dirt Track on Told drops today, actually. So go check Mandy out. She's amazing. She's in the big block world, and she sees the struggles. She's actually interviewed some sprint car girls recently in the last few months because she's trying to expand her platform. So it is hard being a female in racing for whatever reason.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's just the common occurrence of it. Brian Hulbert, of course, we love Brian Hulbert, former voice of the ASCS, now the voice of the USAC Sprint Cars. He said, fact is, he tweeted this, women in sports deal with this kind of stupidity on a level that is sickening compared to men. And then he said, ask Donna Hahn, ask Ashley Ward, ask Tracy Clay, Marcy Edwards, and the countless other women in the sport. So I know that we're in a really weird space in time, and this is women in sprint cars, but this is humans in American society. We just are in a phase where we're just not being nice to each other a lot, and I think you're right, Ash. I think a lot of this does stem from social media, and a lot of this does stem for the fact that we can anonymously say and do a lot of things. But I think to put a bow around this, I just want to encourage everyone to be kind. You know, just take your hands off the keys. We do a Wing Nation group, and right at the top of our Wing Nation group is like, this will not be tolerated. You know, you're going to be respecting each other. One thing I don't really get into is back and forth. Oh no, Donnie Schatz is better than Doug Wolfgang. No, Doug Wolfgang's better than Donnie Schatz. I don't like to get back into the back and forth, but I've booted a lot of people out of that group for showing a little disrespect for a series, for a track, for a driver, for a person. And the group is rather calm and peaceful, and we have some really cool discussions. So I just think that we're at a weird time. Yeah.
And just to kind of add to that, Steve, we all have bad days, right? We're all humans. Yeah. We all make mistakes. You know, it's our life. And maybe you catch me on a bad day. Maybe I did make a mistake and didn't necessarily own up to it because at the time I didn't know it was a mistake, you know, and I know it's, you know, cliche, you know, you don't know what that person's going through on that day, and you don't. So like, just be kind.
Yeah. Just
that's simple.
Yeah, it was funny how this all worked out. Kendra and I, as those of you that know, Kendra and I are buddies. We're friends. We're pals. This has nothing to do with our friendship. Has something to do with Wing Nation and High Limits and Knoxville and everything she's done. But our race is. And so I literally got off the plane yesterday, and I'm like, hey, I hadn't checked in with Kendra. Hey, how are you? You know, and then boom, I find out. So I didn't even know what's going on. And I think that's the thing. And you don't know the day the person is having. And the next thing I know, I'm hearing about this. I'm horrified. I was just like, oh my gosh. And then you feel helpless. And it's like, what can you do? And everything else. Just be kind, folks. Just be kind to each other in sprint cars. It'd be kind to women, be kind to men, be kind to everybody in the world. I mean, if you don't have anything, I'm going back to my mom here.
Nice to say,
if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. I don't know. It seems rather simple to me, but I hate that our friend is in that spot right now where she's in a whirlwind of angst. And didn't confide in me. She told me, and she's posted us on social. It's not all right. It does hurt when you hear things like that. And so don't be hurting people, folks. Let's get along. We love our sprint car racing. And yes, part of the challenge is our sport is divided now. Our country is divided now. Everything is divided now. Doesn't mean we don't all love sprint cars. And that's what we need to do, is we need to kind of rally around each other and lift each other up, even if maybe we're on the other side of some kind of divide that is out there. So we have got, there we go. That's the soapbox. There's the soapbox portion of Wing Nation. Now, see what we need? We need racing so we don't have to do soapbox portions of Wing Nation. That's what we need. So that's it. We've got a great show today because we're going to talk to both ends of the spectrum. We're going to start off with the youngster, Landon Crawley, who is just turning every head in the sprint car world. And then we're going to be joined via Zoom call by the 500-time sprint car winner, Donnie Schatz. So Landon Crawley and Donnie Schatz are coming up here on Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit.
Tony, do you even remember how to drive one of these?
It's not something you forget. You should know that. The drive to succeed, the need to win, the desire to be a champion. And we surround ourselves with partners that believe the same. Like Tony Stewart Racing, Sage Fruit strives to be the best in all they do. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide high-quality apples and pears all year long.
You can compare apples to apples, but nothing compares to a Sage Fruit apple.
Winning quality in every bite.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Ashley Strummy and Steve Poston. We've got a little bonus Zoom call action. We'd planned on doing a phone conversation, but our first guest called Craiger and dialed Craiger up and said, hey, if you want to Zoom this thing, we can. And there he is via Zoom. Landon Crawley joins us. Hello, Landon. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are great. Looks like you're in the middle of the forest or something there. Looks like somebody has got themselves a few deer. Where are you at there?
I'm actually sitting in my living room. Dad's got quite the collection up here. I'll have to show you guys.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. Whoa.
Avid deer hunter.
Yes.
So you followed your dad's footsteps in racing. Did you follow his footsteps in hunting too?
No. It's too slow pace for me. There's not enough action going on.
I'm with you. My father, my brother, they're hunters. My father was a hunter when he was with us, and they loved it. And I just couldn't hang in there. It was just and then of course in Pennsylvania they do it in November and December, and
it's too cold
and everything. Landon, the last time I talked to you was at PRI. And you had just kind of put the deal together with Jason Sides. We didn't really know what to expect. We're five races into this thing. You've had three dashes, one pole, one top 10 finish. Just kind of assess how things have gone for you in the early going here with Jason Sides Motorsports.
Yeah, so far, I mean, everything's been, it's been smooth sailing. I couldn't ask for a better team, a better group of guys to work with. I mean, I feel like I've had some pretty good luck going into the first few races, you know, just track position. And we've been solid in qualifying so far, just haven't been able to put up the results in the feature. But this last night at Volusia, we were able to get the car a little bit better, more to what I'm comfortable with. So I'm happy with everything, and I'm really looking forward to this Texas swing.
Landon, how has the transition been? I mean, obviously your results are showing that the speed is there, but for you personally inside that car, is it – you talk about wanting that fast pace and hunting doesn't give you that. Is there a huge jump from the 360s for the 410s for you and what's going on in there?
It's definitely noticeable, but it wasn't anything too crazy. I mean, I was able to get used to it and adapt to it fairly quickly. Granted, there's definitely still things I need to learn, especially on some bigger tracks, racing with dirty air and racing with the group of guys that I'm racing with is probably one of the biggest changes, just the aggressiveness and how hard everybody races are the two things that I kind of struggled with at first, which I'm not sure how it's going to carry over into a smaller track. It'll be pretty much my first night on a small track in a 410. It's pretty much something I've never done before. So I'm looking forward to everything though. And we'll just have to take it one night at a time.
Landon, I think that's the thing. I'm not shocked, but I'm impressed with your skills. I'm impressed with this. I'm impressed with the performance and everything. What really impresses me though is that you grew up in the Arkansas Bullring region, you know, and you are performing like this at Volusia. And I know you ran a 360 race down there early in the season, that germ-free Southern Nationals or whatever it was. Does it feel pretty comfortable to you, pretty natural to you to have that high speed place like Volusia?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what it is, honestly. You know, my entire career, I've ran quarter miles, and the biggest we would ever go to is a 3/8. So something about, you know, the bigger half mile tracks, I've just kind of adapted to them quickly. I think it's kind of being able to slow down your hands and keep it smooth on the wheels, what's really helping me, especially in qualifying. So, you know, I'm not too sure where I got it from. You know, my dad's been a quarter mile guy. pretty much whole career. You know, he would branch out every once in a while, but his strong suit was always places like I-30. So it's just, I guess it's just kind of luck coming at me and being able to figure something out that most guys from around here struggle with. So it's pretty awesome.
All right. Obviously your dad, Tim Crawley, three-time ASCS champion. What's it like, obviously, jumping into the 410, having somebody like Jason Sides, who's, you know, been in it and working with other guys, and then having your dad also there? Is it kind of a great mesh between the three of you? Is your dad more the laid-back guy, or is he more like the T-ball dad who gets real excited? What's it like, and what's that been like for the few races that you've had so far this season?
It's definitely been nice having both of them there. It helps out a lot early in the night when we're just trying to get everything dialed in as quick as possible. You know, having two guys that have done this for 60 years combined, I mean, that's 60 years of knowledge that, you know, half the people there wish they could have. You know, they've been up the road, they've done it, they've been there. And so it's truly massive help, man. It's pretty awesome having dad there, especially for the first few races. I mean, it's all pretty laid back, you know, there's no pressure. My expectations going into the year were to make an A, and so far I've been in three dashes. So, I mean, everybody's super happy with everything. Nobody is getting beat up on themselves. Granted, my feature results haven't been solid, but, you know, early in the night, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better night. So, everybody's super happy. Everything's going super well. And, I'm just trying to keep it up.
For the past 5, 10, 8 years, we've talked to Brett Marks, and he wished he could figure out the early night because he's really good in the feature racing, and that early night is a good time to be good. When you work with Jason Sides, you're not just a driver that drives the motor coach to the racetrack with a helmet bag in hand and shows up and say, what do you have for me, Jason? What are some of the things that you work on or you will be working on in the car, with the car, as you and Jason and crew travel the country?
Yeah, so our crew is pretty small compared to the other guys. It's just me, Jason, and our tire guy, Jimmy. So me and Jason pretty much knock out all the car maintenance, and if dad's there, he'll help out. And then Jimmy gets all the tires good, and it's nothing too crazy. It's nothing wildly drastic from what I'm used to. You know, I do all the same stuff that I was doing at home. So, you know, torsion bars, just basic basic car maintenance. I let Jason kind of do his thing with the motors. I know motors aren't cheap, so if I mess one up, that'd be a bad day for me. So I just kind of the same stuff I'm used to doing at home, just knock out all the basic stuff.
Landon, you said that basically your goal for the season was to make a mains. Obviously you've conquered that goal. So is there new goals that you've kind of added to the list already?
Not quite yet. You know, I got to get some more laps under me and some more races at some different tracks. You know, I had a good showing at Volusia, but for all I know, I could go into Texas and I could struggle to get out of the B. So I'm just, going into everything very open-minded. You know, I'm no expectations, just, granted, I'm hoping for the best, of course, and I'd like to match what I did in Volusia, but I mean, there's no guarantee on anything for all I know. I mean, it's, just got to take it one week at a time and put what happened behind us and keep digging.
Are any of the upcoming tracks, have you been to any of the upcoming tracks that are on the schedule?
Very few of them. Very few of them. I know I've been to Muskogee and a couple of the local tracks around me. So pretty much 90% of the schedule this year is going to be completely unseen.
So with you being a young kid, 16, are you big into the iRacing? Is that going to make you help be a little bit more familiar with things, or are you not into iRacing at all?
Very, very little, especially now. You know, I'm hardly ever home anymore, it feels like. So I get on there every once in a while, especially here recently, just putting in some laps and trying to go to places that I don't get to go to. You know, I know one of the tracks on there, Weed Sport in New York, is probably one of the weirdest tracks on the schedule that I feel like is going to be one of the ones that I struggle with the most. So that's one of the places that I try and get laps in at.
That is cool. That is cool. I'll never forget when we had that COVID period where everyone was iRacing. I had Jason and Paul Sides on, and they talked about Atari racing. They were calling it Atari racing, not necessarily iRacing. So I don't think your boss man is into that at all. This week you got rained out in Texas and you were able to get home. So are you getting a little quality time with mom? I know she is just dying to have you around more, but are you getting some quality time and refreshing? Because likely when you leave this next time, you're going to be gone for quite a while. Is it nice just to have a little chill time there at the house?
I love getting back home. You know, I hated that this last race got ran out at Cannondale. That was going to be mom's first race to get out and go see an outlaw race. So that sucked pretty bad, but we have some more races coming up closer to home and I'll try and get back a little bit as much as I can really. And try and get mom to a few of them. I know there's a few races that she'll be able to go to coming up pretty soon. So she's probably the busiest one in the house. You know, she's works at the racetrack and has an actual job, so she's got it compared to us. She works way harder than we do, but we're extremely grateful for her. I mean, she does all my social media stuff, handles my shirts, and I really couldn't ask for a better person there. I mean, it's pretty awesome. I love having her around.
I love it. It's a family ordeal from top to bottom. And that is such a staple, and it'll help your success. That being said, Landon, with being home in this downtime, obviously sprint cars are the main focus, but when you have a night to yourself, is there something that you like to go do? Like what do you do with your free time?
I've been getting into golf recently. That's pretty much my only other main hobby right now. There's not a whole lot to do around here in Arkansas. You know, we have Walmarts and we have golf courses. So that's I picked the more expensive one, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, some deals can be made on golf courses along the way, Landon. So that might pay off in the long run as well. We really appreciate your time joining us. I absolutely love watching you on the racetrack, what you're doing, Landon. And we wish you well as you continue on in this rookie year, a Kevin Gobrek Rookie of the Year candidate. We wish you well, but thanks for joining us here on the Zoom call this week.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
There we go. Landon Crawley joining us. He mentions the racetrack. His family runs Texarkana 67 Speedway in Texarkans, Arkansas. I'm going to get a chance to get there in a few weeks. I can't wait. Nice. Go check that out. But great racing family and a great story. And, well, we're going to step away because another great racing family and another great story, Donnie Schatz, he joins us next.
Tony, do you even remember how to drive one of these?
It's not something you forget. You should know that. The drive to succeed, the need to win, the desire to be a champion. And we surround ourselves with partners that believe the same. Like Tony Stewart Racing, Sage Stewart strives to be the best in all they do. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide high-quality apples and pears all year long.
You can compare apples to apples, but nothing compares to a Sage Fruit apple.
Winning quality in every bite.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Let's go to the Sage Fruit Hotline. Joining us from up in his home state of North Dakota, Donnie Schatz joins us. Hello, Donnie. How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to get to have lunch today at the Schatz Crossroads, so I'm going to get one of my best meals of the month here.
What's on the menu today? What is one of your favorites there at Schatz Crossroads?
Well, it's a toss-up when I come here. The 99 has always been notorious here at the restaurant, and they got a really good hot ham and cheese, but they still got the old crinkle cut French fries, and you have a little ranch. They got a Spanish omelet, a taco omelet. There's so many things that if I eat everything that my mind's telling me right now, I probably won't be able to race this weekend. So I'm going to have to pick just one and then cut it in half.
I love it. It's all about food choices, especially with the postman. Donnie, your sister posts, speaking of Schatz Crossroads and the gas station, your sister's been posting a lot of thieves lately. What is going on up there?
It's crazy. You know, I shared a thing last week. We had some young kids that theft has been a huge thing. And we have a couple of young kids that work for us at night that started, they see so much of it. That they decided to start a Facebook page on their own. You know, we're not have anything to do with it. I think it's great they do, but they want to call out people that are shoplifting. And the thing about shoplifting is you can't really do anything to them because unless they leave the premises, you can't press charges. And really, it's not the police. The police's hands are tied behind their back on doing anything. So it really comes down to it. In my mind, it's a parental problem. So you know, it's just been, it's crazy. You know, I posted a video and Facebook took it down because they said it was offensive. And I got threatened to get sued for defamation of character, and I'm going to wreck these kids' college career and whatever. So it's just, it's almost laughable what happens. And then the very next day, you know, I go in there every morning and grab my soda and have a chat with some of the people. And within a 2-hour period, the next morning we had 4 different people get caught. And it's just like, I guess it's just a sign of the world we live in. And, you know, glad that we have great people that can keep an eye on it and great cameras, because, as long as we can get the stuff back with, you know, that's the best scenario. And hopefully at some point it kind of goes the other direction, but it's just everyday business seems to be that way for us.
That is crazy. I realize. So you have some young kids that work for you though, that have kind of done some social media, bringing this to light a little bit more.
Absolutely. They've started a Facebook page. Awesome. I think it's called Fargo Moorhead Shoplifters or something. And they post videos, not just from our stuff, but they have other people join it. So it's like a group in town that's gotten several thousand followers. And we've even had people call us and say, hey, we identified this person and they work for us. We want to let you know we've let them go because they were ones in the theft in your store. So there's been some positive about it. But like I said, it's crazy how, you know, I don't get on social media much and do much of that, but the one with the 4 kids was just laughable because they got caught and then they went left and then they came back and tried again. And that's what I thought was funny. And when I shared it, obviously my social media reach is a lot bigger than these kids. And, you know, Facebook decided to tell me that it was offensive or something. I don't even remember. I just laughed. So
it's crazy. You talk about the obviously Shots Crossroads, the restaurants, you have car washes. Since we're not talking racing anytime soon, what does a normal week look for you, you know, especially with the rain out? Are you 9 to 5 Monday through Friday? What does a day look like for Donnie Shots?
Well, you know, the way we grew up, our businesses were always the busiest on the weekends. And that's when, as growing up as kids, our parents were, you know, we were watching cartoons on Saturday morning when we were kids and they were working, we were on our own. So realistically, it hasn't changed. When you're in the Travel Plaza business, you know, and you're on opposite ends of the state, the way my dad structured everything, you know, Deanne, my middle sister, she has the operating company in Fargo and she manages and handles that. And my youngest sister, Krista, she manages mine at the original Shots Crossroads. And then I oversee all the properties and all that sort of stuff. And my father used to build a lot of buildings for people, you know, build the suit here and there. And I haven't per se done any of that myself at this point yet, just because of the way construction costs have gone and what's happening in the world. But, you know, keeping up with what we have and keep it maintained and keeping it leased is really what I do. And there's really no timeline on it. If we come across maintenance people in a snowstorm that have been moving snow for 30 hours, I'll be there all night helping them move snow. It doesn't happen very often, but, you know, if something happens, I'm there. I went on a snowmobile trip a couple weeks ago and it got cut short because we had a problem. So when there's a problem, you need to be there. Actually, you need to be there all the time, but you just can't. So and you know what I do on weekends? I race. So if I wasn't, you know, obviously last weekend I spent a lot of time around there and, you know, I don't stand there and hold everybody's hand. I let them do their job just like, Tony Stewart does with me. So, you have to be present and you have to make sure, everything stays in order. Cause once things get out of order, it's really hard to play catch up.
I am sure. That is for sure. You mentioned Tony Stewart Racing. Donnie, from afar, it just seems to me like you guys have come into this season with a different energy level. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misreading it. But how do you approach this season? Is there a new sense of adventure, sense of excitement for you guys?
Absolutely. You know, the performance hasn't been there. And it's not just performance. Half of it's attitude, motivation, leadership. You know, Tony's always just let us do our thing. And he's obviously around more often and spends more time at the shop now that he's into the drag racing stuff. But, you know, he's never slapped our hand. And I guess maybe at some point, maybe he should have slapped our hand. But I guess, you know, between me and Scuba and everybody on the team, we just, like I said, when things aren't good, it's like when it rains, it pours. So, you know, we all kind of had to have a reset, including me. And I wasn't a very good leader. I was pretty frustrated with things, you know, performance, the way we attack things. And the only way you get past that is you know, acknowledge the problem. And I can acknowledge it. I was a huge part of some of that problem with attitude. And, you know, you can try to push your guys a certain way. There's nights things don't go right. You don't want to, you know, try to make it worse. You got to try to make things better, but you got to be realistic about it. And it's been a challenge, that's for sure. But it's coming around. I'm pretty motivated with the guys. You know, I think more than anything is as you look back and all the guys on the team are still there. And some days I ask me, if I was one of those guys, I probably would have said, see ya. I'd have been gonzo. Just because there was no performance and there wasn't me being a leader and all those things, but they didn't, which tells me they believe in what our abilities are and what we can do. So, you know, I fully expected it to be short and replacing guys, which is not fun, but all those guys are there. They're doing a great job. They know that there's tough times and there's no times, you know, that's going to be perfect, but all you can do is work through them. And man, they have come around and everything looks great. Obviously we've only raced at one racetrack, but you know, they've had the performance and had the upbeat motivation, and they're pretty excited about what's going on. So all I can do is keep pushing them down that path and letting them do their thing.
New year, new mentality, but the goal is still the same, is to win races, right? How important is it for you and your team to win this early in the season, especially at Volusia?
It's very important. You got to get that monkey off your back. And it seems like the further you kick the can down the road, the worse it gets. And, you know, we were fast at Volusia every night we raced, which is a positive. It's just getting qualified is something that's pretty tough to do. And I think if you look at, I talked to a lot of different people that I normally don't talk to from an owner standpoint or a racer standpoint, whether it be father of a young driver or a young driver, and they were just telling me how tough it was to come out and race with the Outlaws. And it felt like you're scrambling to get in the B main every night. And it's kind of, I said, man, I it's hard for me to say any otherwise, because that's all I've ever done. Your expectations are high, but what people are doing and the monies they're spending and the way the motors are getting built and all these things that to get qualified, it's incredible what's going on. And you know, I guess that's what takes it next level. So we just haven't put ourselves in that position where we're focused on that, all about qualifying. There's a few places that it is super important, and Volusia is obviously one of them, but you can qualify good and still end up in a bad spot. So, you know, we just got to keep going down that path. And obviously we got that monkey off our back. So now we can just focus on the next race and kind of forget about the win.
Donnie, you are a focus on the next race kind of guy. You've lived your whole career with that, but that last win was win number 500, and it's 8 days ago now. You had a rainout after it. Has there been any reflection about that kid up in the Dakotas that wanted to go racing? Has it provided any chance since that win to think back to some of the journey you've been on?
Well, I've honestly tried to avoid it, but I can tell you that my phone went off the hook immediately when it happened, which is cool. And I totally respect that. That's just the way it is. If people aren't communicating with you or texting you, I guess you're probably not doing a good enough job. But, you know, I got to block it out. I can't get caught up in those moments. Is it a big moment? Absolutely. It's big, but it's not the biggest moment in life. And it's not, you know, the guy who paved the path for us to all have this, Steve Kinzer, it doesn't even, you know, I'm not even at his knees yet. So it's crazy how you just try to, you try to block it out, but it's hard to do. So self-reflection, no. Like I said, I'm gonna save these things for rainy days when I'm retired. You know, because you do see a lot of guys doing that around the racetrack, like mentioning Steve, when you see him around, you still see the pride, and you can see how happy he is that he can walk in there and go, hey bud, yeah, you're not even halfway there yet, you know? So it's pretty cool. And I think we'll just savor them moments for down the road when you're not in the race car, but they clutter too much space in your own mind when you're focused on the job at hand.
Speaking of the journey, Donnie, I had the chance to chat with your mom 2 years ago. Diane, obviously your family, huge in the very beginning and still active in your career now. But her and I were chatting. We talked about family and what it's like working with family and the highs and the lows. And she actually brought up a time in Texas that you got left behind. Do you remember that?
Don't know if I should or I shouldn't. I don't remember Texas, but I remember getting left in Wichita one time. I think I was left many places, but that's just the way my father was. If you had an ass chewing coming, you got it. There was no avoiding it. There was no way to hem-haw around it. And yeah, I got left, and he told me if I wanted to get back home, I guess I was going to have to figure out a way. So, you know, I don't knock any of that. I think it's just the way it should be. I think there's just not enough of that in today's times, but, that's just the way we were, the way we grew up. And that's kind of how he taught me. So, I always tell people, you know, I got fired by my father twice, but the important part is my mom rehired me three times. So I never did get fired that last and third time before we ended up at Tony Stewart Racing. So, and he always used to call her my lawyer as well. She probably never told you that because he was pretty hard on me and she would defend. And I think that's just the parent's job. But, yeah, we have a lot of stories about getting left places. And, you know, there was, believe me, it definitely dug down and lit the fire and made sure that the coals were red hot, especially when I came walking in the door and proving him wrong that I made it.
Nice. That is awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Donnie, it's been incredible to watch your journey. I love at the end of races, like when you win one, I'll send our buddy Chuck Sinks a note and say, hey, congratulations. Chuck, of course, with Sage Fruit. So you won the Revolution. Chuck and I hadn't talked in a few days. And I said, congratulations. And he sends me a picture from Victor Lane. I said, dude, you got a better seat for this one than I did. So it was neat to see you and Chuck and Brenda get to celebrate down there as well.
Yeah, you know, Chuck, it was kind of funny. Chuck was at one of the earlier races at Volusia, and he said, we'll see you in Victory Lane. And I said, well, I'm going to do my best, Chuck. And that wasn't a good enough answer because on that night at Volusia, Chuck was there, and he brought his wife, Brenda, and they were super excited. And he said, we'll see you in Victory Lane. And I said, see you there, Chuck. So I think the confidence was just a little bit brighter that night, and super glad that Chuck got to get in the photo. Is obviously him and the Sage Fruit brand are branching out more and more all the time and doing more things for racing and seeing more involvement, which is great for the sport all around. So we're very honored to have a special partner like him. And we have a lot of fun with him, but you know, as he starts to transition his role away, we don't see him as much as we'd like to, or get to have as much fun with him, but we do our best when he's around.
Yeah, I just love that. That was really, really cool. Donnie, always a pleasure. We wish you well on lunch, and then we wish you well on the rest of the season also.
Thank you, guys.
There we go. Donnie Schatz joining us on the Sage Fruit Hotline. Stay with us. More Wing Nation in just a moment.
Tony, do you even remember how to drive one of these?
It's not something you forget. You should know that. The drive to succeed, the need to win, the desire to be a champion. And we surround ourselves with partners that believe the same. Like Tony Stewart Racing, Sage Fruit strives to be the best in all they do. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide high-quality apples and pears all year long.
You can compare apples to apples, but nothing compares to a Sage Fruit apple.
Winning quality in every bite.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit. Wow, what a time. Talking to Landon Crawley and Donnie Schatz. Man, Ashley, they're at both ends of the spectrum there, but really, really fascinating, fascinating gentleman for sure.
It's true. I mean, obviously, I had a chance to chat with Landon and meet him at Volusia. And, you know, he just realizes I'm the new kid on the block and I'm going to play my cards as they fall. And then you've got a veteran like Donnie that is like, I'm just here to race and I do my best, you know. So it's really cool to see both sides of the spectrum.
I love that Donnie acknowledged there was an energy shift within the team because he sat down with me. I do racing electronic interviews at PRI. And he sat down with me to do an interview, and we're just chit-chatting before while Morgan was setting the camera up, the woman who runs the camera here for RE. And literally, I'm sitting here, and I'm 10 seconds in this. I'm saying, wow, something is new. Something is different. They have come into this season. They're ready to go. They're going to be a handful. All five races inside the top seven. I mean, we talked a lot about that win, but all five races inside of the top seven. We talked about running for a championship and what it takes. So those are the type of things that it takes, and then getting your fair share of wins along the way. Speaking of winners, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, they celebrate winners and champions. Birthdays later this week, Andy Granatelli, Chet Gardner. Chet's not in the Hall of Fame yet. Give him time, though. Give him time. That's right. Chet Christner will be there. He'll earn his space there. In the Hall of Fame, Chet Gardner, Dean Thompson, Ralph Capitani, Marion Robinson, Danny Smith, my buddy, Danny Smith, Wendy McDonald, the legendary, iconic, one of the absolute best announcers in the history of people who have held microphones, Wendy McDonald from Manzanita. Oh, man, I could still hear him calling a qualifying lap for J.J. Yeley. Oh, man, I'm sitting there saying, man, I'm sitting there as an aspiring young broadcaster saying, man, someday I hope I can say something half as good as he did, and I still don't think I've accomplished it. But Wendy McDonald, his birthday would have been tomorrow. Today is the birthday of Johnny Rutherford, and today would have been the birthday of Al Gordon, Al, in 1999, inductee into the Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Ashley, listen to this. He caught the racing bug at the fine young age of 25. My, how times have changed.
Unheard of.
He was a mail carrier in California, caught the racing bug, started racing Legion Ascot Speedway in 1933. He won the Triple A or the 3A's Pacific Coast Championship with multiple wins, won his share of races over the course of the early 30s, but as was very much the case in that era, 1936, a crash at Ascot Motor Speedway. He died along with his mechanic, Spider Matlock. And so while he passed early in that 1936 crash, he is forever enshrined in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, one sprint car place in Knoxville, Iowa, one of the greatest places on earth, I might add. All right. Ashley, this weekend, the Texas Two-Step is one of the headliners.
Yes, Cotton Bowl Speedway. Fingers crossed, Mother Nature plays nice. But as we said at the top of the show, March, well, is March, right? So yes, fingers crossed the Knox Energy Drink Sprint Cars can make it happen.
Yes, indeed. Racing action weekly action at Attica. Silver Dollar Speedway. Now, earlier this week, Brad Sweet has tweeted that the weather looks great all week long. Silver Dollar Speedway, Friday night, has an open 410 show. And then the mini Gold Cup for the NARC King of the West, $10,000 to win on Saturday night. So fingers crossed. We had Bud Kading on last week. Fingers crossed that Bud and the boys out there will get a chance to race this weekend at Silver Dollar. It certainly looks good. I know Colby Copeland and Brad Sweet are all pumped up about it. So fingers crossed, it'll be in good shape.
Well, I was going to say, is Brad Sweet being a promoter or is the weather really
good? Well, there's that.
I love it. True. Obviously, I'm not paying attention to the California weather forecast, but hopefully, fingers crossed, the Fast Series can make Saturday's show at Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania Motor Speedway happen.
Absolutely. Lincoln Speedway on Saturday. And now, speaking of tweeting, Danny Dietrich has tweeted, that the weather looks fine for Sunday at Williams Grove. So, and I don't think Danny has that promoter's hat on.
No, he is just a sprint car racer who has cabin fever currently, because I'm sure in 4 months he's going to be like, what the hell are we doing racing? Oh, it's too wet, or it's too hot, or it's too something. You know, Danny, we got to love him and pick on him a little bit.
We don't race in March and we whine about it, and we race 22 times in 7 days and we whine about that too. So and it's funny now. It's crazy times. It really is. So Williams Grove. And this weekend is the relaunch of the American Sprint Car Series, the National Tour, Friday and Saturday night, RPM Speedway in Texas. It's going to get used to getting used to dirt vision. But Ashley, it's going to be interesting to see. And actually later today, and we'll post some of it on our social channels, Brian Dunlap going to hold court on a Zoom call, I think at 2 o'clock today. Okay. To kind of bring everyone up to speed with what's going on with ASCS. There is a group of 360 racers that are anxiously waiting to see how this thing goes.
I'm sure. You know, obviously it's a huge deal. Just like everything else that's transpired in the last few seasons when new things happen, to put it amicably. So it'll be interesting. I'm sure it's only heads up from here. And obviously it's huge that it's going to be on dirt vision now.
Yep, absolutely. So that's the game plan. Ashley, it was fun hanging out. I am coming your way next weekend.
Next weekend.
Yes, if weather, the Williams Grove on Friday night, Port Royal on Saturday, and Baps on Sunday. If I'm going to wait a week before I make any plans. I mean, I've got plans. I know where I'm doing. I know what I'm going. But before I make any reservations, I'm going to wait and see and get the Danny Dietrich A-OK to come north. That's what I'm going to do. I'll rely on Danny. No, I'm not going to rely on Danny, because he would invite me up north on a rainy weekend, and then we'd sit at some barroom and get in all kinds of trouble. So I'm not going to rely on him. I might have to dial you up next week to see what the real story is.
I'll give it to you.
Absolutely. Sounds great. It is great hanging out, Ashley. Great hanging out with you. Glad everything is good up there at Lethal Chassis, and really, really fun. And so much fun talking with Landon Crawley and Donnie Schatz. Man, I'm telling you what a great time it was, that is for sure. So while we appreciate Landon, we appreciate Donnie. More important than all of that, we appreciate each and every one of you joining. Hey, share this right now. Share this. Share this, like this, subscribe to this channel. Please, please, please spread the Wing Nation gospel. And we do appreciate that. I'm Steve Post. Thanks for joining us. My co-host Ashley Strummy this week on Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.